Well, whether or not you count yourself as a fan of the beautiful game, over this past week or so, it's fair to say that we've all been privy to some pretty spectacular developments at the heart of world football. The goings-on at FIFA and its now former president, Sepp Blatter, have been making the headlines for all the wrong reasons. It's been a fight and a squabble of epic proportions, hasn't it? With claims and counterclaims, arrests and extraditions. Looking on, the beautiful game has become pretty ugly. The waters have got very muddied through too much money, too much power in the hands of too few people. Of course, it's not just in football that people argue and fight. It runs through society, doesn't it, in different ways and at different levels. But squabbles and arguments happen when people don't get their own way. I want my way, you want your way. And before long, we end up squabbling about which way is the right way. And here's where it gets a bit nasty, because we all use all kinds of tactics to get our own way. We see these things played out in public life. We know them to be true in our own lives, don't we? It works a bit like this, doesn't it? If I think to myself, if I kick up enough fuss, if I wield enough power over other people, then sooner or later I can probably manage to get my own way pretty much most of the time. It's often messy, it's always pretty ugly. But whether in politics or business or culture or sport, noisy and powerful people tend to end up getting whatever they want. That's just how the world works. Now, if you're wondering what this has got to do with this little letter of James, well, it's because it's this bit of Bible that's in front of us today. James turns his attention to fights and quarrels, where they come from, and what they tell us about one another. We've been looking at this letter for a few weeks now. Last week, James was sharing his concerns about our speech, the problems with our tongues and the trouble that our words can get us into. And this week, it's about our lives and our attitudes, sharing his thoughts on how we should live and how we should pray to God, and how we can begin to live a life that's both peaceful and selfless within the family of God's people. Now, I guess if I were to take a straw poll here this morning, well, most of us, we like to think we're pretty wise, wouldn't we? And I guess we'd like to think that our attitudes and motives were pretty straightforward. But, you know, James, he knows otherwise. Even within the community that we call the church, James knows it's just not like that. James knows that sometimes it's not the place of peace that it should be, and it's not marked by wise living and selfless prayers. That might cause a bit of a surprise to us, I guess. But church people have the capacity to argue and fight over all sorts of things. Look what James writes in verse 1 of chapter 4, speaking directly to the church family. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. You see, fights and quarrels were the order of the day. Church people arguing about this or that or the other. Does that still happen? Well, of course it does. Because people are still the same. People are still people. Let me offer you a couple of for instances, not because I've seen them here in Kilnest, but because you'll begin to see what James was on about when he talks about fights and quarrels. So take, for example, some of the things that go on in churches on a Sunday morning. Things like, what time the service ought to begin, and just how long it should go on for, and who should preach, and what they should be teaching. What liturgy and words should we be using? What sort of music should we sing? And who should get to choose that said music? You know, take any one of those things, you'll have a great widespread of opinion. Some will want modern, others will want trad. Some like it early in the morning, others want it a bit later on. And if we're not careful, says James, we can end up quarrelling and arguing in a way which is ungodly and divisive. And a long way from the peaceful and selfless community that God wants us to be. Now, in James's day, They weren't just arguing about the vicar's robes or what make of coffee they ought to provide. It was about faith, about theology, about questions of error and truth, what they should believe about God and Jesus, how they should decide upon what they believe. There were good teachers and there were false teachers, and this was the stuff that was at the heart of their disagreements and squabbles. But you know, whatever the argument might be about, the antidote to that argument was the same. In order to live in peace and selflessness, says James, we need the kind of wisdom and the kind of motives that can only come from God. And so we'd better ask God to give us that wisdom and show us what those motives look like, which will stop all the quarrelling and put the squabbles back to bed. That's the first heading on our little sheet this morning. Ask God for godly wisdom so that you can live in peace together. And so as we start to think about wisdom, James explains there are two kinds of wisdom that come from two different places. First, there's what he calls worldly wisdom. That's a wisdom that's of this world, unspiritual, ungodly. It's the kind of wisdom that's rooted in selfish living and looking after number one. An approach to life, that's my way or the highway kind of thing. And when I don't get things my way, when I don't get what I want, it leads to conflict and it leads to fighting. Now look what he says, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Well, it's not a pretty sight, is it? Envy and selfish ambition, evil and disorder. When I want it my way and you want it your way, sooner or later, we're going to come to blows. It's certainly the way of the world, but here's the thing. It's not God's way. It's not God's plan for people. He didn't create us to argue and fight. He made us to be the kind and thoughtful and at peace with each other. But earthly selfish wisdom is everywhere, isn't it? It's all around us. So, you know, as you're heading up the motorway and someone jumps in the empty space in front of you, doesn't that get you mad? And what about trolley rage going around the supermarket at Christmas? Everyone heads down, heading for the turkeys. And then, of course, last year, we saw the scenes of chaos in our shopping centres up and down the country. Black Friday came to town, and it was every man for himself. You see, this worldly wisdom, this selfish wisdom, it really is no wisdom at all. So what's James going on about here? Well, he wants us to bin that first kind of wisdom, that earthly wisdom, and replace it with a different kind, what he calls heavenly wisdom, which can only come from God. What does that look like? Well, let's read on, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. It's very different, isn't it? A very different kind of wisdom, peace-loving and considerate, merciful and sincere. Not a drop of selfishness to be seen. Now, this is a person that does things God's way because of their faith in Jesus. They're able to master their inner selfishness and find that strength and obedience to deny themselves and put others first. Now, to some of us, that might seem like a completely weird or even stupid way of carrying on. I mean, why would you do it? Why would you want to give up getting what you want in order to let someone else have it their way? But what we think is weird, James thinks is perfectly normal. This is heavenly wisdom, a life that gives rather than takes, and serves before it expects anything in return. A sort of back-to-front, upside-down way of living and looking at things. Now, if you want to know what this looks like, well, God's given us a perfect example in the life and person of the Lord Jesus. This was always his way. Giving and serving were the watchwords by which he lived. Every day of his life and his mission, I mean, he didn't turn water into wine so that he could have a good night out with the lads. No, he was saving the wedding couple from the shame of running out. And he made their day by providing all they needed. Jesus, he didn't heal the blind man because he wanted to put Specsavers out of business. He did it out of love and compassion. So this poor blind guy could leave his life of begging and go out and get himself a job and a life and a future. The life of Jesus, it was all about giving and serving. And then there was his greatest day, the day we were singing around about in our hymn just a few minutes ago. His greatest acts of love and service, giving up his life on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven our self-centered lives and brought into God's family, dying the death of a common criminal and paying the price of sin so that selfish people could be forgiven and brought back to God. Jesus' life and his death are a great example of what James is talking about here. This heavenly wisdom. You know, Jesus knew only too well that the way of peace comes by way of service and sacrifice. And you know, it's only because of Jesus' death that you and I can know that peace with our Father in heaven. It's only when we get that vertical peace in place between us and God in heaven that we can begin to do anything about the horizontal peace between one and another, a peace between us and other people. You know, this idea of peace with God through Jesus, it lay at the heart of the Christian faith. It's what Jesus came to do and bring. Here at St. Thomas's, it's what we believe and what we teach and what we pray Harry will come to know and understand and accept for himself as he grows up in the church family here. If you'd like to know a little bit more about how that works, how you could know true peace with your Father in heaven, this little booklet might help. It's called Jesus, Why, Who, and So What. You see, this lay at the heart of our faith, it's important that we get this right and understand it for ourselves. This is godly wisdom, wanting to live God's way rather than my way, wanting to serve others before I think about serving myself. So how do we do it? How do I demonstrate this godly wisdom? Very simply, it's by living a godly life. That's been James's message all the way along, right through the letter, isn't it? The fact that the stuff that's in my head should work itself out in my life. My faith in Jesus should always determine my actions. That's James's challenge here, isn't it? He says, in effect, show me your godly wisdom by showing me your godly life. That's how it works out. You think you're wise, says James? Then show me that you're a peacemaker. You think you're wise? Then show me your mercy. Show me your compassion and your sincerity. You think you're wise? Then show me that you love God and follow Jesus. Show me in your life, by the way you live, for God and for other people. See, that really is the challenge here, isn't it? That every time I sense or sniff that sense of selfishness going on in my own life, I need to figure out a way of turning that situation around, of replacing selfish wisdom with godly wisdom. When I find myself getting stressed out in a queue, well, just let the other person go first. When I find myself disagreeing with a brother or sister in the church family, why not look for the way of peace rather than getting dragged into a bus stop? And you know, my friends, this is so different to the way the world works. You know, the world tells me that if I make enough fuss and wield enough power, then I can probably manage to get my own way most of the time. We all of us, we need godly wisdom so that we should ask God for it, shouldn't we? So that we might live that life of peace. Well, secondly, a little more briefly, second heading on the sheet this morning, ask God for godly motives so that you can pray in a selfless way. You see, I guess the question that we might be asking ourselves, why is it so easy to be selfish and so hard to live putting others first? Well, the answer to that one, says James, it's all about our motives, all about what's going on inside of us, these powerful forces that drive our ambitions and our desires. And just as we need godly wisdom, so we need the right kind of motives going on in our hearts, godly motives that are going to help us live in that godly way. Now, I ask most people why they get out of bed in the morning then get themselves off to work. They'll talk about houses and holidays and cars and all manner of hobbies and sports and pastimes, or even the thought of a long and happy retirement in a bungalow by the sea. But for most of us, it's these many pleasures of life that mean we're prepared to go through the hassle and inconvenience of getting ourselves up and out for work every day, whether that's working for ourselves or, you know, for a company or other people. And James simply says to us, would you watch your motives? Watch your motives and keep those desires in check, especially if they're centred around pleasure and stuff, be it more time on the golf course, more money in your bank account, or more a more expensive car on the drive. James knows that these desires are very powerful things. They cloud our judgment and cause us to make bad decisions. Worse than that, desires like this can often lay at the heart of arguments and fights with other people. Look again at verse 1 so we can see what this looks like for ourselves. James writes, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. See what happens when I want something but don't get it? Very quickly we get from a minor squabble to a homicide. You quarrel, covet, and kill. Now, that might not be literally going around bumping people off here and there, but it might mean using my power and influence to effectively bump someone off in an ungodly way, to remove the blockage that's in my way. Now, that person who stands in between me and my own way on something. So, for instance, it might mean coming up with a plan to, you know, relocate that difficult colleague from your team at work into some other place in some other part of the business. Or it might mean a not-so-private character assassination to blacken their reputation or their good name. Or even providing an exaggerated reference just to get shot of them so that you can see the back of them once and for all. Easily done, isn't it? Especially in the middle of a quarrel or a fight. I want my own way, and so I'll go to many different lengths to get that to happen. But James, he knows the squabble is just a symptom of a much bigger problem, a much deeper problem. It's the heart problem. It starts right in here, in my heart, my motives, and my desires. But you see the point. Selfish motives combined with selfish desires, and the things all come together to produce some very selfish looking results. And James wants to show us a different way, a better way of getting what we want. And it's not about being a bully or fighting for it. It's about asking God for a new heart and a different set of motives. Well, it begins in the middle of this section. There's a bit of a question-answer thing going on between James and one of his imagined opponents. He sort of gives us both sides of the conversation. It goes a bit like this. I've just expanded a bit just for clarity. So someone asks, well, why can't I have what I want? And James replies, you do not have because you do not ask God. But the person replies, but I did ask God and I still didn't get it. Well, in that case, says James, you asked with the wrong motives. You asked out of selfishness, so God didn't give you what you wanted. Well, here we are. It's another important lesson from James, the one we were looking at with the boys and girls earlier in the service, that the things I ask for in my prayers reveal what's in my heart and expose to me my motives and my desires. And if I want a more productive and fruitful prayer life, then when I come to ask God for something, I need somehow to replace selfish motives with godly ones and keep those sinful desires in check. Again, James wants to make this practical. Another case of show me your godly motives by showing me your selfless prayers. And you know, it says I'm praying that I need to put this into practice. I need to listen to what I'm saying to God and again be looking out for selfishness in those prayers. And when I find it, I need to modify what I'm asking for to replace selfish desires with selfless ones. Take control of them and ask God to help me master them and give me instead a heart for others and a prayer life that puts others before myself. The way to peace in the church family is not an easy road to travel because it involves all of us, doesn't it? Changing to be more like Jesus, modelling our life on his, denying ourselves so that we can put God first, others second, and myself last. Mastering our selfishness and keeping our desires in check. It's not easy, but it's the way God has given us out of fights and quarrels. And you see, it all begins in prayer, in the asking of God to change us and change our hearts, that he might give us godly wisdom, that he might give us selfless motives, so that we might know what is right, and then go and do it, living God's way in peace together as a church family, that he ultimately might get all the glory. Let's pray together.